Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Wade. That was really fun. It's so great that we have the talent here, that even when there are a couple of people out, we still have so much talent and so much fun. So thank you. That was just beautiful. My message this morning, let's see. Well, Mary checked this out and said it's all working. And so far. Anyway, my message this morning is about expanding our circle. There it is, expanding our circle. And in the book, he says an undivided heart. When you look up on the internet, an undivided heart, first thing that comes up is scripture from Psalms. It says, give me an undivided heart, Lord, that I may fear thy name. And I thought, I don't like that one. I don't really want, but when you think that name means nature, when name means nature, then what we know is that the nature of God, because the nature is the divine principle, that maybe we should at least know what we're doing when we're speaking our word, when we're thinking, when we're using our emotional intelligence, when we're feeling deeply about something. We should be aware that that something is going to create out of itself. It's going to bring more like whatever it is that we're feeling. So I guess fear thy name is okay in that case. And the other one was, I liked it better, but it was, I don't even remember it, so let's just go on to the next thing. An undivided heart. Expanding our awareness in an undivided heart, we intuitively already know what that means, don't we? An undivided heart means that there isn't a place that we leave someone out. It means that that love flows equally, continuously, eternally to all beings everywhere, continuously. And it cannot do that unless you start first with self. You must love and approve and accept yourself so that you can rise up. Okay. So whether we like it or not, we're always interconnected. It's the good news and the even better news. We're always interconnected, that there isn't a place where your energy, that's the end of your energy. That's the end of your thought. That's the end of your subconscious mind. We're connected. There's only one life. That life is God's life. And we're connected in that life. We're divinely connected. We're one with each other. So, you know, when Mother Teresa was working with those lepers, and she taught all of the people, all the nuns that came to work with her, to work just as she did, to see the Christ, the face of Jesus, in each and every person that she served, to bring loving kindness to absolutely everyone, no exception. And then she would say to them, as they're ready to go back to their families, make sure you continue to see the Christ in your family, in your home. So practice it everywhere. And sometimes that's where we forget to practice. Those closest to us, sometimes we put on that mantle of judgment and we think that people should behave in a certain way. That isn't true, and it's impossible. But what is possible is for each one of us to be more loving with every person in our life, and to be more loving, especially in our families. So great advice, Mother Teresa. And Chief Seattle said, we are all connected. We did not weave the web of life. We're merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the strand, we do to ourselves. So important to remember that we are a unity, a oneness, and to use the same care and love with our environment as well as ourselves. In the book, A Path with Heart, there are a couple of really, for me, they were very, very moving stories. And I'm going to tell them to you in my words, but by all means, get the book and read the words yourselves, because the stories are really moving. This was a story about the Cambodia refugee camps. You know, that they were forced to become communists and to give up all religious relics. So that couldn't have beads, they couldn't have anything that said that they had a religion or spirituality. And so this wonderful monk, I might have, just a minute. Oh, I didn't put his name in, but anyway. It took 8 years, and they built a temple right there on the border of where this refugee camp was. And the monks wondered, would anyone come? Because they had been threatened for their lives to show any kind of spirituality or religion. 20,000 people came the day it was opened. 20,000 people came. And they chanted in three languages over and over again. Hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. This is an ancient and eternal law. Hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. This is an ancient and eternal law. Feel that in your heart. Hatred never ceases by hatred. So Buddhism is older than Christianity. That this has been chanted by every Buddhist for hundreds of years, thousands of years. And many Buddhists, look at the Dalai Lama, have lost their homeland. And yet, when the Dalai Lama talks about the Chinese, who really forced him out, he says, "My enemies, my friends, the Chinese." He can bring loving kindness to every person, every entity, to the government itself. So what I know is that we are capable of such a deep compassion. Yes, the Dalai Lama has had years of practice, and because of their beliefs, centuries of practice, because of course he's reincarnated from the former Lama, I would like to tell you this story of Vinoba Bahavi. He was, how many of you know who he is? Anybody? Let me see. Okay, so if you happen to know, if I'm mispronouncing his name, please tell me. But he was Mahatma Gandhi's right-hand man, and they expected him to be the successor when Mahatma Gandhi, of course, he was killed. And it was a couple of years later, and there'd been no one appointed as leader. But this man, Vinoba Bahavi, had been doing the work, had been continuing the work of listening to the people. And he said, "I'll tell you what. I'm going to walk for 6 months through India, from village to village. And just like Gandhi did, I'm going to listen to what their desires are, what their fears are, what their hopes are." He was doing active listening. And the very first village he came to, there was a great turnout of people. And the poorest of the poor said, "Well, we're so hungry, we're starving, we have nothing to eat." And he said, "Well, why don't you grow your own food?" And they said, "We can't own land. We don't own any land." They were, of course, the untouchables, and they didn't, for centuries, didn't have any land. And he said, "Well, let's see if we can change that. I'm going to write a letter to President Nehru tomorrow and see what he can do." And the villagers all went home, and he went to his hut to sleep, and he was bothered all night long. He said he knew exactly what would happen, that would get stuck in the bureaucracy and the paperwork, and it would take months or years before anything could ever be done. So he went back to the villagers, and he said, "It would take too long. Is there any possible way that land could be given to you And a rich man spoke up and he said, how much land do they need? And I think in that village, the first group needed 20 acres of land. And the rich man said, I can give 20 acres of land. And Vinoba said, no, you must go back to your wife and your children who are to be heirs to this land and ask them if it's okay with them for you to give this land. And he came back and he said, yes, our family is quite happy with this. This is a way that we can contribute. He went from village to village to village. And that's 6 months. I don't know how many miles he walked, but he was given by a rich man in every village 2,200 acres of land in that 6 months. And in 14 years, 2 million acres of land. The government was never involved. There was never any red tape. There was never any bureaucracy. It was simply the giving of a compassionate heart in each and every village. It took one person to listen and to listen to maybe there's a new idea. Maybe there's another way to look at this, another way to think about it. And that's what we're called to do all the time in every situation. Another way to look at it. How else could we see this? How else is this possible for all to be fed, or in this case? I just thought that was an amazing story. He's called the walking saint because he's walked so many times in such a vast country. Okay. Here we go again. Here we are. I just told you that. So this is one of the, I think Jack Kornfield wrote this book in the 80s, maybe early 90s. And this is what he said. The world's current problems are fundamentally a spiritual crisis created by the limited vision of human beings. It is so good to remember this. This is a spiritual crisis. And we know that spiritually everything can change with a new idea. Absolutely everything can change with a new idea. I know some of you read my blog. I blogged about our problem with no parking. And because we have a problem with not having any parking during the week. And yet, here's the thing, but I really get, if we focus on our problems, what's going to keep growing? Our problems. That's the nature of the law. We need to focus on our solutions. We need to focus on, well, what's possible? What's a new idea? What new thing could happen here? Jack Kornfield talks about, once you've practiced the loving kindness meditation, he says, then take each of the five precepts, which are like their ethics, the precepts or values, and meditate on each one at a time. The first one is about not killing. It's the reverence for all life. The second one is the interconnectedness, the care with material things. The third one is speaking from the heart. The fourth one is conscious sexuality. And the fifth one is refraining from intoxicants. Not easy to live this life, but a value. You know, our whole next year, what we're doing next year, the whole theme for the whole year is looking at the values, what we value and what we believe. So it's a marriage of our beliefs and values. And every single month, it's a new value, a new belief that we'll be looking at in depth. And I think there are 120 of the 430 centers that are doing the same thing. It's very exciting that so many of us are doing that. And that was thanks to the Cultural Integrity Committee that some of you heard at the minister's gathering. Dr. Ken Gordon was part of that committee, and Edward Villiun, one of my favorites, is on that committee. Anyway, it's going to be a great year. It reminds me of, so a teacher said to her class, she said, "Who thinks they're stupid, stand up. Anyone who thinks they're stupid, stand up." And the kids just sat there and looked at her. And then she said again, "Anyone who thinks they're stupid, stand up." So Johnny stood up and she said, "Johnny, do you really think you're stupid?" And he said, "Well, not really, teacher, but I didn't like you standing alone." It's the compassionate heart, right? The compassionate heart. One of my favorite Rumi poems is the poem, "Come, Come." "Come, come, O wanderer, wanderer, lover of leaving, come. Yet you have broken your vow 1,000 times, yet come." Why I love this is each one of us, our spiritual beings, we're on this wonderful adventure. Are we going to make mistakes along the way? Probably. But when we do, the thing to do is to come back. Come to the principle. Come to the awareness that there is only one life. It's the life of God. It's love. It's wisdom. It's abundance. And it is everywhere present. It is everywhere present. I had a very interesting week. I had a week of being aware of my failings, of my shortcomings, of my oopses and inadequacies. And that's not a bad thing, because it's just the mirror coming up saying, okay, I'm looking in. What does this mean I'm believing? What does this mean that is true for me? So, as many of you know, my younger sister is an alcoholic who's sometimes sober and sometimes not. And so from the time I was 12, when she was born, I've taken responsibility for her and for her happiness. And that's just a load of crap. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. It's not true of me, and it's not true of her. She is a grown-up woman. She can make her own choices, and she does. But boy, has that been a lifelong learning for me. Because I remember holding this little baby in my 12-year-old arms and promising, no matter what, I'm going to do my best so that you will have a happy life, so that you will not suffer. But you know what? You can't take away anyone else's suffering. It's for them to do. It's for them to do. But everyone can take away their own. Everyone can make a choice right now, today. I'm going to have a new idea. I'm going to open my heart, first of all, to myself, to be a compassionate liver. Yes, that too. I didn't know a liver was in your heart. What I was attempting to say was listener, to be a compassionate listener, to listen to that voice within, to especially listen to the divine intuition that always knows, always guides. If we both open our heart to listen, and then to be the compassionate listener to those around us, not thinking we can fix or solve anything for them, but just like Mr. Vinoba, we can listen so carefully that solutions come. They didn't come from him, but they came because he was willing to have the conversation, because he was willing to ask the questions. What can we do? So as we're expanding our circle, and think about your own life and your circle, but this center and expanding our circle, there are going to be all kinds of people that will come that are not like anyone else. In fact, none of them will be like anyone else because no one is like anyone else. But there'll be some that you will wonder if they're in the right place. And the answer is absolutely yes. Each one is. Absolutely yes. And wondering if you're in the right place. And only your heart can answer that. But my hope, and I use that word seldom, but it is my hope, is that you would care about this community enough to say, yes, this is my place. This is my place. I am loved here and I love it here. You are welcome here you are welcome here. So I wanted to say a little bit about Thanksgiving Eve. I'm going to do a process this Thanksgiving Eve that is similar to something we did as pledgers. And it's going to be beautiful. It is about you being generous enough to bring your homemade desserts. I hope you realize that. They're not coming out of thin air. They're coming with you. And we're so grateful. It's also about Rick and Karen and Debbie Wheeler are going to provide the music. It's going to be great, great music. But it's also a time for you to really open up. And as Tony said in the announcements, to speak your gratitude. This week of Thanksgiving, what a wonderful opportunity to share with people that love you what you're grateful for. What you're grateful for. And then I want to talk about next Sunday just for briefly, because it says we have a guest speaker. Where is she going? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here. That's my prayer partner. Those of you who've done Wise Women know her as Lisa DeSnow, but now she's Lisa Stewart. And she is absolutely fantastic. We have a sister organization, the affiliated New Thought Network, Anton, and she's the president of that. So she's a great leader, a wonderful speaker, and she's going to be working with the Board of Trustees the following weekend, but she couldn't stay over for Sunday because she has her annual meeting on Sunday. So we'll welcome her this coming Sunday, next Sunday, the 29th, and I really hope she gets to meet you all. So, because we're expanding our circle. We're expanding our circle. Bring lots of friends with you to Thanksgiving Eve. What a wonderful place for you to be surrounded by people who love you and whom you love. Come yourself and give thanks. Even if you don't have a dessert, trust me, there'll be plenty. So come anyway. There's another thing I want to close with, which is also from the poet Rumi. He says this. This we have now is not imagination. It is not grief or joy, not a judging state or an elation or sadness. Those come and go. This is the presence that doesn't. What else could human beings want? When grapes turn to wine, they're wanting this. When the night sky pours by, it's really a crowd of beggars that they all want of this. This that we are now created the body, cell by cell, like bees building a honeycomb. The human body and the universe grew from this, not this from the universe and the human body. This we have now is not imagination. It is not grief or joy. This is the presence. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. So Diane's going to set the consciousness for the prayer. Yeah. And then I will lead us in prayer.
Be still and know that you are God. Be still and know that you are. Be still and know that you are God. Be still and know. Believe and know that you are God. Believe and know that you are. Believe and know that you are God. Believe and know. Be still.
And so in that holy moment of now, I awaken to the presence of God within me. No matter what name I call it, it is that thing that isn't a feeling, yet it's greater than all feelings and contains all. It is the knowingness, the eternal love, the loving kindness of life itself, of the divine presence. And what I know and realize that it is everywhere present in its entirety, that it is right here in and through and as each one of us. And so I speak this word in the first person for each one. Take whatever it is that feels good and leave the rest. This is what I know. I know that I am the wholeness of the undivided heart. I know that my love for life is unmistakable, it's real and true, and that it fills all creation. I know that my life is a tribute to this one, and that the creative process moves through me as health, as healing, as well-being, as understanding, as knowledge, as joy. I know that this expanded circle includes more of myself, the hidden dark parts, as well as the visible light ones. And I accept and welcome them all, for I am that I am, moving always toward a greater experience of that I amness that I am, a greater experience of the goodness of my being, a greater experience of the prosperity that is my nature, a greater experience of God's gifts, of God's life, of God's grace. So I'm very, very grateful that this is so. And with my heart filled with gratitude for the presence and power of God within and for the way God works, I simply release this word. I place it in that law of mind that always says, yes, my beloved, it is complete. And please join me in saying, And so it is. And now back.